Last Sunday was in fact a very important day in the church calendar. I don't mean our local church, but the church universal. I wonder if anybody knows what it was. Pentecost Sunday, that's right. That particular Sunday in which we remember and celebrate the initial coming of the Holy Spirit in power within the disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you look at Acts chapter 2, verses 1 to 11, we read about it there. Acts 2, verses 1 to 11. Previous chapter, we've read about this time since the ascension to the time when the day of Pentecost happens. Pentecost, of course, being the feast that promotes the first fruits of the harvest. We read that in the previous chapter that there were times 120 of them were gathered together for prayer. Chapter 2 says that when the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire. They separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now they were staying in Jerusalem, God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment, because each one heard them speaking in his own language. Utterly amazed, they asked, "Are not all these men who are speaking Galileans?" The reason they said that was because the Galileans actually had a very bad press. They were seen as the backward people of Israel. They were so thick that people thought that they couldn't even speak their own language properly, let alone any other. So it really was quite surprising. That's why they mentioned that. Verse 8. "Then how is it that each of us hears them in his own native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, that's the one. I haven't visited there yet. Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs. We hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues." How amazing that would have been. Those followers of Jesus Christ, this must have been, and indeed was, an incredible experience. We know it was life-changing. It brought into their lives colour. It brought into their lives power and passion. I don't know how many of you here, but I think I've got a feeling there would be quite a few who would remember the first time after watching black and white television, you actually saw a colour television. I remember that. I remember Judy and I couldn't afford a colour television. How expensive they were when they first came in. And it was quite a time before we could. So we had our black and white television and everybody else seemed to have colour. But then you go and you see a colour television and it was just so different. So wonderful. So incredible. You enjoyed watching the advertisements, because they were the most colourful. Well, for these followers of the Lord Jesus Christ, they didn't just see a difference, they experienced a difference in life, and particularly in their own lives. You see, they experienced a power entering into their lives that was more than a power. It was a person. It was personality plus that came into their lives at that time. And it transformed them. It filled their lives with colour and joy, with courage and with expression. And the wonderful thing, it would seem from the scriptures here, this wasn't just the apostles. from the quote that Peter gives later on in his sermon when he quotes from Joel, we can understand, and from what we read before in chapter 1, that this included both men, women, young people, and older people. Everybody was included. The apostles were to the fore later on in the preaching, but everyone received this Holy Spirit. And also, as we read the story, we find that this coming of the Holy Spirit was very noticeable to others who weren't believers. And of course, the Holy Spirit chose to make it so. We see the Holy Spirit in this passage making a statement to the world, I'm here. And things are going to be different from now on. The power will be seen and will be felt. The very noise of his coming, we are told, was like the sound of a violent wind. We would say today, like the sound of a cyclone. It was immense. And it would have been that noise that first captured the attention of the crowd. In Melbourne this last week, at different times, we would go alongside the Jarra River there, just in front of the Crown Complex. And if you've been there, you know they've got those pillars. You've seen those pillars that are 8 pillars. And out of the pillars, at night, on the hour, on the half hour, I believe, on a Sunday, there comes these balls of flame. How many of you have seen that? It's quite an experience to see. You see, they have these huge pillars. They are quite high. And the fire comes out, and it starts at one end, and a little bit of fire comes out, and it goes everyone along. And then it goes back the other way. And then it does two, and it goes all along, then back the other way. But then it gets to start, we start putting out these great big balls of flame. Huge things. And at the end, the climax is where they all go at once, all 8 of them. It's great big, huge balls of flame. But after a while, you know, it's not so much the balls of flame that get your attention, it's the noise. Because when they come, it's a huge whoosh. And in fact, if you're in the hotel, you can hear it in your rooms. And we were standing there one night, and we had my brother and his little grandchildren there, a little girl. And when this whoosh went, she was so scared. It was so loud. You imagine the noise of a violent wind as the Spirit came upon those people. This was the Holy Spirit making a statement. The power of the Holy Spirit being evident in that place. But then we're told that this crowd of God-fearing Jews, I think that's important to notice, from every nation, we're told, under heaven in the Scripture, they heard another noise that was just as amazing and even more bewildering. It was the sound of a large group of people speaking all at once. And doing so in different languages. And we can imagine that excitement of the crowd growing to fever pitch as people began to pick out their own heart language being spoken. Can you imagine what it'd be like if you were there? You can speak Greek, or you can perhaps speak a bit of Aramaic, perhaps even some Hebrew. But suddenly you hear someone speaking about the wonders of God in your own language. Last Saturday afternoon, not last Saturday, but one before, I went to the football in Melbourne. I went there with my son-in-law and my daughter. We went because it was a Carlton match, Carlton Adelaide, and he's like Richard over here, is one-eyed Carlton supporter. So we decided we'd go to the football. And they got there first at the Dome, and I went a little later. And as I walked in, with crowds of people crossing this big kind of walkway through to the Dome, there was in front of us two buskers. One was playing a trumpet, and one was playing a saxophone. Fantastic. And they were very clever. And you know what they were playing? They were playing the theme song of the football teams. So I noticed, I was quite a way away, that when I come up, I heard them playing the Carlton theme song, and there was a crowd of Carlton supporters going past them at that moment.
And then they suddenly changed mid-pitch into the Adelaide theme song, because there were Adelaide people going along. I came along, I was the only person there wearing a Dockers cap. And you wouldn't believe it, with all the hundreds of people going past, they spotted me. And you know what they did? They went straight into the Dockers theme song. That made me feel extremely good. I didn't get beaten up. But they recognised me. And as I thought about this passage, I thought, if I'd been in that crowd that day and hear these people and picked out my language, I would have felt really excited that they were speaking about the wonders of God in my tongue, in my heart language. And of course, this was also all of the Holy Spirit. He did this to make his presence known. The glory goes to him, not to the people who spoke. They were just instruments. The glory goes to the Holy Spirit. And here we discover the Holy Spirit letting the nations know that God is on the move and they're next on his agenda. You know, there are still many, many times today when the Holy Spirit lets the people of this world know about his power and presence through the wonders he performs. Some of those wonders he does through his servants. You know, a miracle of healing. That is amazing, amazing testament to the Spirit's power, isn't it? Perhaps the inspired preacher of the word, when you see many people come to know the Lord. Tremendous answers to prayer. Deliverance from demons. It's the Holy Spirit. An amazing statement from the Holy Spirit. And it's not the instrument who is due the glory. It's Almighty God. And we need to remember that. Yet it wasn't just this awesome expression of the Holy Spirit, you know, that day, that made Pentecost so valuable to the church through the ages. It wasn't just the incredible noise. It wasn't the speaking in other language. It wasn't the powerful preaching of Peter that set the day of Pentecost apart as a landmark for the church. Those things, they were incredible expressions of the Spirit of God. There's no doubt about that. Of course they are. But they happened on that day and they achieved their purpose on that day. But there was something, you know, that started at Pentecost that continued right through the early church and still continues today. What is it? It's the Holy Spirit amazingly present in every believer. That's incredible. Look back at chapter 2 and verse 3. And they saw what seemed to be tongues of fire. Notice the next part. That separated and came to rest on each of them. The fire symbolized the Holy Spirit's presence. And the fire, the Spirit, was there for the whole body of believers. But how was it there for the whole body of believers? By being on each separate believer. By being within each separate believer. No one missed out. Because the Spirit was not given on the basis of intelligence, goodness, ability, age, or standing, or gender, but as a gift for each believer. And straight away, it made a noticeably ongoing difference in each person who was there. Now, I don't mean the speaking in other languages. Oh, that was for them a unique experience of the Holy Spirit sharing his power or showing his power through them. But that was for that day and other occasions. But the ongoing experience of the Holy Spirit was seen not only in them, but it was also seen in the 3,000 who came to know the Lord that day and were baptized, and the 5,000 who a little bit later on, and so on. And it's evidenced in them by the changes that began to characterize their lives right from that moment. Acts 2, 42 to 47 shares some of those characteristics with us. Verse 42 says this: they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. These people, they wanted to study God's teaching, God's word, through the apostles. They wanted to be with other believers, some they hardly knew before. They wanted to pray with them. They wanted to share in communion with them. These people hadn't been there before. This was new for them, and it was the result of the Holy Spirit coming into their lives. A little bit later we read, as we go on, that they were filled with awe in their worship of God. That was new. They were concerned for one another. They looked out for one another. They became a family together. They had glad and sincere hearts, we're told. And even non-believers saw something about them that drew them to their company. What was it? It was the Holy Spirit within them. And it wasn't always easy either, because later on, persecution came. And when persecution came, they didn't give in to that persecution, we're told. They didn't say, well, that's it, I don't want any more of this Christian stuff anymore. They couldn't. They had the Holy Spirit within them. They in fact stood against the persecution, and they went everywhere sharing about God's love and the message of the cross. See, such is the ongoing result of the presence of the Holy Spirit within the believer. The ongoing result. And if you're a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ this morning, then you would sense such things, such desires in you too. Now you know they're stronger in some areas than in others, and you recognize that they're growing and becoming more part of you. But suppose this morning that you have to sadly admit that those things, and we've got that list and the list before, they were there once before in you, so much stronger than they are there today, but somehow the passion has faded from your life. Well, there must be something wrong. Is it that the Holy Spirit has left you? No. The Holy Spirit says he will not do that. Is he less powerful? No. He is the Spirit of God. But what's happened is that there's something in your life that is not allowing him to fill you as he wants to. Something that's blocking. Perhaps the priority in your life is no longer the Lord like it used to be. Perhaps your desire is no longer to please him. Perhaps there's some habit that's taken over some area that you're not doing enough about in his strength to get rid of. Perhaps there's some challenge he's put before you that you have chosen not to follow. You see, it's you who need, the Word of God says in Ephesians, to seek this filling of the Holy Spirit. And to do that, you need to allow him to elevate the things of the Lord in your life to the place of priority that they should have, and perhaps have slipped away from, to help you deal with those wrong things, to show you what they are. You see, if you want that power and passion again, or perhaps you want it for the very first time, then you need to come before the Lord today and open yourself to his filling, to his power, not your own. So let him show you where you need his forgiveness and his cleansing, those parts that you need to do some work on by the Spirit through his leading. To open yourself then to the Lord's will for your life. When we were away last Sunday morning, we went to my brother's church. And the speaker that they had there was the 2005 Young Australian of the Year. A very strong Christian young man who started foundations to try to make a difference with regard to poverty in the world. The guy really loves the Lord. When he spoke, what he said wasn't particularly new, but there was a passion with which he said it. And he was talking about us being prepared to do what God's will is for us, God's purpose for us in our lives. And he talked about several things, and he said, you know, we all need to be prepared to pray what he called the dangerous prayer. And he said the dangerous prayer is when you come to God and say, God, here I am, please use me, whatever it takes, whatever changes, whatever I need to do, whatever I need to sacrifice, here I am, I'm prepared, please use me. As I listened to him, I thought, there's a first part of that prayer that needs to be prayed. And the first part is this: Lord, fill me with your Spirit. Make me ready to be used. Fill me with your Spirit. Touch my life. Cleanse me. Show me what I need. Point me in that direction, but fill me first with your Spirit. Then, Lord, here I am. Use me. Those going to Kununurra, Faye going to Africa, those of you in any ministry at work, you need to be saying that. You need to be praying that, not once, but every day. Lord, fill me. And then, Lord, here I am. Lord, use me. Are you willing to pray that prayer today? Let the sovereign Spirit of the Lord, who's here, work through your life to the glory of God.